Hello and welcome to our broadcast. Today we are in Mark chapter 10. We'll begin reading today in verse number 13. Mark chapter 13, we find that it says they brought young children unto him. Now, this was a very welcome change after the Pharisees were attacking him again, trying to trap him. And then we read, they brought young children unto him. We're going to look at it in a minute. Before we do, listen to this message and song, The Bible Stands.
The Bible stands like a rock, undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with the light sublime. The Bible stands like a mountain towering far above the works of men. Its truth by none ever refuted, and destroy it they never can. The Bible stands over hills, they tumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands, and it will forever, when the world has passed away. By inspiration it has been given, all its precepts I will obey. The Bible stands, every test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone I expect to live it, and to prove it and make it mine. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. Yes, the
Mark chapter 10, verse 13, we read, they brought young children to him, that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. What a change, as we mentioned, from the Pharisees who were trying to attack him to these children. Jesus also said concerning the children, don't offend them, don't cause them to stumble. He said it is better that a millstone were hung around your neck and you were cast into the sea than you caused to stumble one of these little ones that believe in me. Well, immediately following this, we read in verse 17, and when he had gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Now, that's a good question. How does Jesus handle it? We have a real lesson here in how to win lost people to the Lord. We read in verse 18, and Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Now, Jesus knows the heart of everyone. He says that very plainly in the book of John. And he knew the heart of this man before he even began talking to him. And so he asked this question concerning him calling him good master. He said, "Why are you calling me good?" Stop and think about that for a minute. Do you know who you're talking to? Jesus went on to say in verse 19, "Thou knowest the commandments," and he quotes some of them. "Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother." Now, why would he mention these commandments? The Lord was not suggesting that if he kept these commandments, that he would go to heaven. What he is pointing out to him is that he has kept the commandments and he knows he's still lost. He answered and said unto him in verse 20, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said five things unto him. He said, "One thing thou lackest. Number one, go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast. Number two, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Number three, come. And number four, take up the cross. And number five, follow me." How did he respond to those five things? Verse 22 says, "And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." Now, Jesus knew his heart, and Jesus knew that you did not have to do those things to get to heaven. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But there's more to it than, you know, you put the right information in a computer and it'll vote for Jesus, but it won't go to heaven. And you can put the right information into this person's mind or even the emotional area of his life, and he can go through some emotions and pray a prayer, but he won't go to heaven. The Bible says the Holy Spirit speaks with our spirit, not with our emotions or not with our mind. He speaks with our spirit. Jesus knew the spirit of this man. He was very wealthy, and that was going to stop him from trusting Christ as his Savior. He went away sad. He was grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God?" He said, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, "With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." Then we read in verse 28, "Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee." Now, in this account in Matthew 5, we read that Peter said, "Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" What are we going to get out of this? And Jesus answered and saith, "Verily I say unto you, that there is no man who has, number one, left house, number two, or brethren, number three, sisters, number four, father, five, mothers, six, wife, or number seven, children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecutions." Oh, we don't want to hear about that part. "With persecutions in the world to come, eternal life." And he went on to say, "But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." Well, this young ruler, rich young ruler, he would be considered first among all of the people of that day. He is high up on the ranks of social world. The disciples, they were ignorant fishermen. "But the first shall be last, and the last shall be first." We have that example with Jesse's sons, who they were going to be, one of them was going to be appointed as king, And they didn't even bother to bring David in because he's the last one. No, the last shall be first. Well, here's a message and song in closing this broadcast that you'll enjoy if you're a Christian, especially if you've been saved for a while. It says the old account was settled long ago.
There was a time on earth when even the book of hell, an old account was settled for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below. I read it to the keeper and settled long ago. Today, for he washed my sins away when the old